The story of the resurrection morning is in the Gospels, the different Gospels. And what's interesting is as you read the different Gospels, each one of them kind of tells it differently. Some add different aspects, some things that others didn't include. And one that I really enjoy reading is the one in John. And I would encourage you to take your Bibles or your devices, or if you don't have either one of those with you, feel free to use one of the pews or one of the Bibles in the seat in front of you. It's on page 756 of most of those Bibles that are in the seats. But we're going to look at the story of that first early morning. John chapter 20, starting at verse 1, says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.' So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed, but they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was a gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to his disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her." That morning, understand, started out not in a great way for them. As we had already said, they were down, they were hurting, they had been locked in a room for fear of their own lives. The one that was their master had been crucified. He was dead, he was in the grave. All hope was lost. And it says, early that morning, Mary and then Mary and others, it says, go to the tomb, and they expect to go there to see something. The first day. Now understand that they went to the tomb. And then again, Mary, it's not just Mary. We read about Mary, but from the other passages, and actually in here in verse 2 when it says, we don't know where they have taken him, Mary went with other women to the cross or to the tomb. Now the question we see in there too is, it says that early in the morning they went. The question would be, why so early? Why did they even go back to the tomb? Was this Mary and the other ladies were going, hey, something was supposed to happen, so we need to go see what's happening? Not at all. As a matter of fact, they were going to the tomb with very heavy hearts. And the reason why they went early in the morning was because the day that Jesus was crucified on Friday was going into the Sabbath, and the Jewish law required that anybody who dies the day before, any work that had to be done before sundown on the day of going into the Sabbath. So when Jesus was crucified, he was taken down off the cross, and they had to bring him to the tomb in a kind of a hurry, in haste. They did it quickly. And so in the ladies' idea, in their mind, they probably were going there thinking, we did not properly give him the burial that he deserved. And it actually says that they were bringing spices to bring for the body. And what would happen in that culture was they would wrap the body in linen and in cloth, and then they would put on all the spices because that would help the body in the decaying process not smell so bad. Because understand that the way that these tombs were used was there were multiple bodies oftentimes in the tomb. They say that Jesus on Friday was left on what was called the table of preparation, where they would prepare the body for to be put into the tomb. And so the women were coming early in the morning. Some have even surmised that it was before the sun had truly fully come up. But they were going there fully expecting to see the body of Jesus there. And when the stone was rolled away before they got there, that was a heavy thing for them to see. Mary goes back, and what's interesting, and this is a part of the story that I find very interesting, it says that in the story, she goes back and she says that there's Peter, goes to all of the disciples and says, they've taken his body, we don't know where they've taken him. And it says that Peter and John, they go, they take off, they go towards the tomb. And it says that when they got there, it says that the linens that were wrapped around the body were still lying there. Some translations even say undisturbed. So what that kind of means or implies is that when they walked in, the wrappings that were wrapped around the body were still in such a way as if the body had just left there was nothing inside of it. You see, people had tried to say, well, it was grave robbers came. As a matter of fact, that's what we know that the Jewish leaders, they went to Pilate and to the others and they said, you know what, let's do this. Let's tell the story that grave robbers came and took it. And it's interesting and it's important that we read in Scripture that the linens were there untouched because that gives us the understanding that grave robbers could not have done this. Well, first for the first reason is if the grave robbers had come to steal the body, they would have taken all of it. They wouldn't have sat there and done a nice job at unraveling and unraveling it back up to look the way that it did. At the very least, there would have been linens thrown all over the place because they would have been doing this in a hurry. So that whole story doesn't quite match up for it. But there's another very interesting part to this. Whether it's true or not, maybe we'll find out in heaven. But there's another part of this where it says that next to it, the head wrap or the cloth that was wrapped around the head of Jesus was lying by itself next to it. Now, when you look at that, you might go, what does that mean? Does it mean anything? Well, I was reading and I found a very interesting tradition that they said happened in the Jewish culture was, when they would have a meal and the master or the father, whoever was the head of the table, when he would get up from the table, what he did with his napkin displayed what was supposed to happen next. For example, if he got up from the table and he took his napkin and he wadded it up and just threw it on the table or on his plate, what that did is that showed the servants that they could come and they could clean up the table and put everything away. He was saying, I'm done. It's all good. Come and clean up. However, if the master of the house had took his napkin, folded it up nicely, and placed it next to the plate, he was saying, I will return. Don't clean up. I'm coming back. And what's interesting is in some translations that we read, they actually say the handkerchief or the cloth that was wrapped around Jesus' head was folded next to the linens. Was that Jesus saying to the disciples, I'm coming back, just as I said? I don't know. But I thought that was very interesting how those details are put into it that we can easily overlook, because they came that day looking to find something, someone, and there Jesus' body was not. But the question that has to be asked is, why did they come to the tomb? We know Mary and those came to the tomb because they wanted to put spices on the body, but why did the others? Why? Who was it that they were looking for? And as we go through this, that same question is one I think we need to wrestle with. Who is it that I'm looking for as I come to the empty tomb today? You see, for some, it was nothing more. Jesus was a historical figure, a person, a man. As a matter of fact, Mary, when she first goes there, we actually see the purpose for which they were going. I already said it. They were going there expecting to see a body, to see the body of Jesus. Nothing special, nothing out of the ordinary. That was what they expected. Mary, when she goes back to the disciples, she says it in this way. She says, "They have taken our Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Now, wording is important when you consider this, because if they went expecting to see a risen Jesus, she would have said it very differently. She would have said something more along the lines of, "Jesus is not there, and we don't know where he is." But notice what she said. They have taken the body, they've taken him, and we don't know where they've put him. Their expectation was a body, a man. They were just going there to see Jesus. And to many during that time, the person that was lying in that grave was just a man. You know, he was a pretty important man because he kind of caused some waves in the area. He had done some different things, but he was just a man. Jesus has an interesting encounter one time with his disciples. He's kind of asking that question. In Mark chapter 8, as his disciples, they're sitting in a boat, and he just kind of goes, "Hey, who do people say I am?" Pretty simple question, right? Who do people say I am? Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." In other words, you're a guy. You know, you could be this guy, you know, but really, you're a lot of people just look at you as just a man, Jesus. You're an interesting guy. Today, many people, if they even believe that Jesus existed, which by the way, he did, historical counts outside of Scripture show us that Jesus was a real man that lived, that died. If they believe that point, they go, "Yeah, okay, so Jesus did exist, but you know, he was just a good man. Just a good man. He was a historical figure." Obviously, to Mary and to the others, Jesus was more than just a historical figure. He was a friend. He became their friend. They had lived around him for 3.5 years. They had seen him do his ministry. And on that morning, as they went to the tomb, they went to see their friend. This is the one that they loved deeply. I love this part of the story. Mary comes in, you know, "Oh, they've taken the body," tells the disciples, and it says that two of them, Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved. And this is, I get a kick out of this one. You know who the disciple is whom Jesus loved, right? It's John, the guy who's writing the story. I love this. He's like talking about himself in the third person. He's like, and it's kind of bragging there a little bit too. You know, it's like, "Yeah, Peter goes, and the guy who Jesus really loved, me." Yeah, it's kind of, wow. All right. So, you know, but we see this, and it says that they took off. Immediately they take off and they start running. And it says that John got there faster, right? Why did John get there faster? I don't know. You know, Peter might have been old and overweight. I don't know. Too many fish. But, you know, you kind of get this implication of, because I love Jesus more, I was able to run faster kind of thing, you know. It's kind of like new shoes. But it was this idea, he got there faster. But why did they run to the tomb? They didn't expect anybody other than their friend to be there. and he wasn't there. And then why didn't Mary go back? Because we read Mary was there in the beginning, then she goes back and she tells them, and then we find Mary back at the tomb again. Did she think something was going to change? She went back because of her friend, her love for Jesus. She was a close friend of his. He had done so much for her, and they expected to see them there. Now, this is a good thing to be a friend. As a matter of fact, Jesus in John 15:15, that's what he calls us. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I am your friend. I don't hide things from you. This is what it's all about. And is that really all that they went to the tomb for? Because Jesus was their buddy, their pal. You see, it's easy for us even today to get lost in this idea of, you know, Jesus is my friend, he's my pal, he's my buddy. When I'm hurting and when I'm down, I can simply go to him and you know what, he makes me feel better about myself. But is that all that Jesus was when he came out of the tomb? Just a friend? Well, we see as well that when they go to the tomb, they wanted an answer. Jesus maybe was the answer. Mary gets to the garden that second time, and after talking to the angels, she turns around and she thinks that Jesus was a gardener, and she understands the problem. Mary came to do a job. She was bringing spices for the body. There was a problem. The body wasn't there. So she had to solve the problem. And she thought the gardener was the answer to the problem. Notice what she says to him. If you have taken the body, tell me where you have put him so that I can go and get him. I can bring him back. I can take care of what I need to. There needs to be an answer for this reason why the tomb is empty. Jesus was often the answer to people's problems during that time. You see, many people didn't see him as a friend. Many people didn't know that he was more than this figure. But one of the things that they would go is they knew that Jesus could fix the problem. So what would happen is many times we read that Jesus would go someplace, like for example in Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, Jesus would go someplace, and when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed the sick. This is what it would happen all the time. Jesus would go someplace, and people would go like, hey, Jesus is here. Go get your sick, because he will fix them. He'll make them feel better. If you have a broken bone, you know what? Go to Jesus because he can touch it. He can heal it. You know, if you have a disease, he'll heal your disease. You know what? If somebody in your family's dead, go talk to him. He can even raise them from the dead. Jesus is the answer to fix all of your problems. Even today, some people go to the tomb on Easter Sunday looking for that answer. You know what, I go because, you know, I really need God to fix this. When we pray, what do we pray for? God, this is happening. I don't like this. Would you fix this so I don't have to deal with this anymore? I don't like what's going on. Make life better. You see, to some, the one that they're going looking for is no more than an answer to their problems. But we also see that Jesus, to some, was a teacher. In the story, we see this. Mary, she comes to the tomb, and this is, again, an incredible part of the story. She comes to the tomb, and it says that she was so distraught. She walks in, and I love it. The angels that are there, they're like, Mary, why are you crying? And she's like, well, because they've taken my Lord. And it says that she turns around. She realizes there's someone behind her, so she turns around and she thinks that that's the gardener. It's Jesus, but she thinks it's the gardener, and she goes, oh, if you've taken him, please Tell me where you've put them so I can go get them. Notice what happens. He says one word, Mary. And what does she do? Rabboni. She immediately knew when he said her voice that it was him. But look at it. The question often comes is like, how did Mary not recognize him? She had been with Jesus for 3 years, and here she's going, you're the gardener? Well, there's all kinds of explanations for that. There's all kinds of different things that people have said. You know, for one, Jesus is God. He was the resurrected, glorified body that, you know, he could have made himself look like anything he wanted to, and maybe he made himself look different so she couldn't recognize him. Some have said, well, you know, it's because her tears. She had been crying so much, her eyes were so puffy, and she wasn't able to see things very clearly that all she saw was a blur, and therefore she didn't know it was Jesus. And others have said, you know, really what it was is it was about respect. Because what she would have done in that culture was not look at him in the eye. That would be maybe disrespectful. So in honor and respect, she would look down at the ground to respect the person that she's talking to. So she wouldn't have seen the body. Whichever, we don't know. Maybe we'll find out someday in heaven. But notice what happened. The moment he says the word Mary, calls her by her name, her response is, Rabboni, teacher. Now this isn't just any teacher. This is the great teacher. This is the highest level of respect. But it gives us a little bit of insight into what Mary was looking for. The teacher has returned. The one who has been leading us and teaching us, he's alive again. You know what? We can go back to doing all that because understand the role that Mary Magdalene played. As a matter of fact, we find, as we said before, that the women had gone to the tomb. The women had brought the spices to put on the body of Jesus. Who were these women? We actually find them out in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, we see this. It says, starting at verse 1, it says, after this, Jesus traveled about from town to town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now, it's interesting. You see, Mary Magdalene, one who was cured of demons. But I love this. I mean, this gets easily overlooked. There was one who was there who was the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, King Herod. This is a person in the household of Herod that is coming and supporting the ministry of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I found that very funny. This is the guy who doesn't like Jesus, and out of his household, he's supporting Jesus in a way. And so, but we see here these women are coming along. Their role was to support the teacher. Wherever he went, they took care of his needs. And so when all of a sudden on that day, here is Jesus standing before her, she was looking for Rabboni, the teacher. But was that all that he was? Again, some people even today will say, you know what? Jesus, he was a great teacher. He had some really good things to teach us. You know, and the Bible, yeah, you know, okay, I'll accept it. It's got good stuff for living a good life. If you want to be a good person, listen to the words of Jesus and you'll be okay. But is that all that he was? Was he just a teacher? You see, when we look at this story, what we see is something very cool. Peter and John, they run to the tomb. They walk in and John sees first, he sees and he's standing off and he can't even enter in because of the respect and the love that he had for his friend and Peter, doing the Peter thing, just busts in there and they find the things that are laying there. But notice what John says. He says, then the one whom Jesus loved believed. He believed. And I asked myself this question. What did he believe? Because all it tells us is he believed. There's a lot of things that he could have believed right here. He could have believed that the body was taken. I highly doubt it. He could have believed that simply what Mary said was true. Mary came to them and said, his body is gone. They've taken him. We don't know what to do. And so they probably were like, yeah, woman, you don't know what you're talking about. And they ran there to prove her wrong. But then she was right. Was he just believing that she was right? Or was this the point where he recognized and believed the words of Jesus? Because if we remember what had happened, Jesus, for days leading up to this, had been talking to his disciples and saying, guys, you got to get this. You got to get this, okay? I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. But in 3 days, I'm going to come back to life. Guys, remember? I've told you this before. I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. But I'm going to come back to life. But when John gets there, he goes, I believe. What did he believe? He believed the words of Jesus himself. You know what it says in there, and I like how it clarifies it. It says they didn't connect it yet to what the Old Testament had said, the Old Testament prophecies. Does that mean that they didn't believe that Jesus was going to raise from the dead? No, they just hadn't connected the prophets to what Jesus was doing as the Messiah. But what he was believing was the words of Jesus when Jesus told them, I'm going to die and I'm going to come back to life. And so all of a sudden there's John going, he did it. He did it. He's the risen Savior. As Mary was there, I mean, how cool would this encounter be? Mary comes back, you know, Peter and John, they go back. John's probably trying to process all this. Mary comes back and it says that she walked in and they're sitting in the tomb at the head and the foot were two angels. And what's the question that they asked? Woman, why are you crying? There's a part of me that kind of goes, I don't think that was one of these questions of empathy or sympathy. Oh, I'm so sorry you're hurting. Why are you crying? Tell me about it, please. I don't think that's what it was. As a matter of fact, I kind of get the question of, Mary, why are you crying? Don't you get this? In other Gospels, it actually it says, look, in Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6, they go, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. For I know what you are looking for. You're looking for Jesus, the one who is crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Now look at the next words. Just as he said. Just as he said. Come and see the place where he laid. Do you get what they were saying there? Mary, why aren't you getting this, Mary? Jesus told you guys time and time and time again that he was going to come back from the dead. Look, see, right here, he's not here. He said he would not be here. Can you imagine in that moment the realization of going, oh, yeah, he did say something about that. He did say he would be risen. This wasn't a magic trick. This wasn't some kind of a thing that a smoke screen. It's not a time where he, like Lazarus, would come back and then die once again. He came to live forever. He came as the risen Savior. And what is interesting is in that moment, Mary understood who he was because she heard his voice. She knew the voice of her risen Savior. In John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Isn't that interesting? All the word he had to say was simply Mary, and she knew. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. She recognized the voice of her risen Savior. He's back. He has returned. He is no longer dead. Yet when they went to the tomb that morning, Jesus was not there. He wasn't stolen. He didn't simply perform a magic trick and disappear, never to be seen again. He rose from the grave. He walked out. He didn't raise to be some historical figure that 2,000 years later people can go, yeah, he was a guy that lived and died. He didn't raise from the dead to simply be a friend, a pal, or a buddy. He didn't raise from the dead to be the answer to our problems and to just simply fix them, or to be a great teacher that we can learn how to argue with others the minute details of different things within the books. He rose as the risen Savior. He defeated the cross. He defeated Satan. He defeated sin. He defeated death when he walked out of that grave to live for all eternity. They came looking for someone on that day. Wasn't quite who they thought they were going to find. Today, many approach the Resurrection Sunday much the same way. Is the tomb still empty? Who am I looking for? Who is it that I expected to see when I came? Did I come expecting to see the risen Savior this morning? The darkness of Friday is now past. The tomb is empty. The Savior is risen. He is not here. He is risen. Just as he said he would. He's alive forevermore. Let's pray.